time.
Good evening. Hello, everybody.
Oh, what's going on? I'm Scott.
And I'm Doug.
And this is Ghostly. We have a very interesting show for you tonight.
We hope so, anyway.
We hope so.
It's something that I'm interested in.
Oh, yeah. As do I. It's one of those. It's one of those weeks.
Yeah, you had a week and a half this past week.
Hurting right now.
Yeah.
Totally hurting right now. But yeah, hopefully you guys can carry this enough for me to be like, yeah, great, cool, wow, really?
Well,
I know about that.
Uh-huh. Well, what we should have done is last night taken some sound clips of you doing just that. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, but
really?
I was doing it like about 18 decibels louder, though.
Well, yeah, we'd have had to crunch them down in Audacity.
Yeah, we'd have to really bring them down.
Yeah.
You know, when you get drunk, I mean, everything, you think that you're completely deaf, and I guess you get deaf. I don't
yeah.
feel positive.
And you start going louder yeah. and louder and louder.
Yeah, so the next thing I know, I'm just screaming at everybody at the top of my voice. Just for a second, yeah, our guitar player got, well, from MFPS, Alex Clem from our band got married last night to Rachel. So Doug, being the stand-up guy that he is, agreed to take photos because they didn't have a photographer. So Doug and Beth, our friend Beth, came out and they took photos of the wedding and of the reception. So thank you very much, Doug, and thank Beth, I have to say. Thank you, Beth, because you guys both really came through, and that was really
well,
cool.
Well, for me, it was an honor and a privilege.
Oh, wow.
And well, I was not drinking, and it was
no,
still fun.
No, but I was.
And it still was fun.
I mean,
it was a blast.
Yeah, it was about a 10, 11-hour adventure for me.
Yeah.
It was rough.
It went on for a time with me, too, but
so, yeah, if I'm not my usual enthusiastic self, you guys know you're fully aware of what's going on here tonight, which is I'm hungover.
Well, that, and following the wedding, of course, was crunch time for learning all about this week's topic.
Yeah, so that's what we did here for the last few
hours. That's what we did here for the past couple hours, but I of course, already knew some stuff
yeah.
from Kevin's, and we'll be talking with Will.
Yeah, Will's
our
here
special
tonight.
Guest,
yeah,
Will of DDPI.
Yeah, and...
And we'll be talking with him and about prophecies.
Prophecies, exactly.
It's my current, like, favorite topic at the moment.
Yeah.
Prophecies, although there's a lot of stuff shaping up on our message board.
Yeah,
if you go to www.ghostlytalk.com, which, by the way, we're working on getting the new site up, so
which
I know...
Which is, like, completely cool.
Oh, it's totally fun.
You
and
haven't
awesome.
Seen it yet, but us...
Well,
yeah,
one person has. One person has.
Who?
I don't know. Somebody surfed along there while I was configuring,
oh.
but somebody saw it. I'm still going to be bringing it up occasionally and working on the format and the content, and then... here and there, and then ghostlytalk.com will then, instead of redirecting you over to the GeoCities site, ghostlytalk.com is going to be it. That's going to be the one to go to. And and then we...
There's a prediction right there.
Yeah, somebody already says.
Scott sounds sick. I'm not sick. I mean, I feel better now, but, you know... Just,
yeah.
After I had that massive Subway sub, I'm trying to, you know, detox here. And I'm like, okay, nap time. And he's like, no, we got 20 minutes before the show starts, Scott. Get off the couch. Like, okay, great. But, yeah, I mean.
So, yeah, we'll be talking. Well, I didn't have to say all that much. What was I talking about?
Prophecies.
Prophecies. We're going to be doing prophecies. And there's a few that are my absolute favorites. You know, of course, everybody must know by now that I'm an Edgar Cayce fanatic.
Mm.
So we'll be talking about him. We'll talk about Mother Shipton.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about Nostradamus and Prologue? Solog?
Slog.
I'm sorry.
Slog.
Prologue, of course, you know, is a programming language.
Yes.
And so, of course, that's in my mind. We'll be talking about a whole bunch of interesting, cool stuff,
yeah.
I hope, is what we'll be doing.
Yeah. Real quick, too, in case you don't, well, the listeners don't know, we are on Yahoo Messenger
yeah.
as Ghostly Talk, just how it sounds, Ghostly Talk without the space between the two words. Also, we're on AIM now, AOL Instant Messenger, so if you're on AOL or you've downloaded the AOL Instant Messenger itself, you can find us as GT Talk Show.
Yes, all run together, yeah. no spaces.
So you want
GT, which stands for Ghostly Talk.
Yeah.
GT Talk Show. All run together. No
yeah, all run together. You can slam us on there if you want. If you don't have Yahoo, So feel free. Like I said, if you have anything to say tonight, we're always on here to listen to comments. And if you listen to past shows, we usually, right on the air, in the middle of whatever we're doing, we're like, hey, so-and-so came on and said that we suck. Or whatever.
Which is more often than not, yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, what my goal of this show, obviously, you cannot talk about every prophecy ever invented. We probably won't be able to talk about the ancient Hopi prophecies or things like that, which are absolutely completely fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
We won't be able to talk about a lot of stuff, but we can give a general overview of prophecies, what they are, how they work, and some of the people who do prophesy.
Yeah. One thing we did talk about, though, before when we were setting up for this show, getting ready, we thought, okay, well, it'd be great. We can just sit here and spit back a bunch of prophecies
and scare
the hell out of you people. You know, but we decided, I personally, I was like, why don't we try to dig a little deeper into that, too? Just because anybody can get on here and just go, well, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and the silver bird or whatever, you know, like we've heard about it a whole
nine. Oh, gosh, the silver bird.
You know, and say, yes, this is going to happen. We're all going to die. You know, sure, we're going to do that. You know?
Yeah, the end time prophecies are just obviously extremely scary, and and everybody goes about making them. And
yeah, they're very interesting at the same thing. But yeah, I mean, we have to, let's say it right now. A lot of it is, you know, it's BS. I mean, a lot of it really is. That's my opinion.
Well, so far, it's BS.
Well, yeah, but it's a matter of who's going to be right now. And if you look at the whole thing, it's like, we have this guy, we have all these different, let's just say hundreds upon thousands of different I don't want to say religious groups, but groups that have certain beliefs about the end time prophecies. We've seen a lot of that in the news.
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
Just before the year 2000.
Oh, God.
Everybody crawled out from under their rock and started predicting the end times.
Yeah, and that was a fun year. 1999 was a fun year for me. It was just like, I don't think I had that much entertainment to read. It was just great. I don't know if you guys remember anything.
What bothered me about 1999 is they did not, I guess all the radio stations must have banded together and signed a pact not to play, the artist formerly known as Prince at the Times, 1999 or whatever, Party Like It's 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was expecting that to just be blasted on the radio
the
entire year.
Totally.
And it wasn't. I mean, I might have heard it once.
I think the bar I was working at the time, of course, you know, that's what they played. Yeah, as I worked New Year's Eve that year, and that's what they played. 19, whatever the actor host.
Don't know either. But now he's now known as Prince again. So,
isn't he just a symbol?
No, he was. Now he's Prince again.
Why did he make up his mind?
Well, evidently it was hard to spell.
Well,
yeah.
You ever seen that thing?
It's not on the keyboard, so nobody could talk about him in the message boards.
Yeah.
So now they changed it to
Prince. Important piece
again.
Of marketing right there. He was not getting a piece of. So I'm gonna go back to being Prince. Anyways.
Hey, that was a cool song. It just was not overplayed. That was my beef about 1999. All the rest of it was really phenomenal.
It was hilarious.
I mean, and 2000 and the prophecies and the end times and the 2000 bug and all that kind of stuff. That was just too exciting for me.
Oh yeah, it was an eventful year, along with an eventful New Year's Eve. But you guys know what we're talking about, though. I mean, we don't have to sit here and slight everybody.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Everybody was freaking out.
Yeah.
We're all gonna die. Great.
But we didn't.
Yeah. Well, I had a great time, personally. I thought it was just a wonderful thing to see a millennium.
Oh, I know. It's so, it only happens once every 100 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, like I was saying before, though, we thought, well, we could spit out a bunch of prophecies or talk about the particular people that are responsible for these.
And we will.
Yeah, we will, but what...
In true Ghostly Talk fashion.
Yeah, yes.
We're going to talk a little bit about prophecies themselves and how they work and what they do.
Methods
and
of understanding them, mainly. I mean, we hear all this stuff, and it's like, okay, how do you take a look at this and, like, see what it's all about? Look into it and, like, try to get some actual information out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought it'd be important to, like, try to inform...
As well
outside
as...
Outside of the realm of going... Yes, your house is going to blow up tomorrow whatever there is. So let me take a quick break. We'll come right back to that, and then we'll move into the fun stuff, too. Cool?
Sounds good to me.
Great. We'll be back in a second.
It's paranormal, scientific. It's social life.
Alrighty then. Methods for understanding prophecies. I mean,
let's do it.
I mean, we'll just think about the statement itself, just to start off with.
Well, I don't even know what it is, because you were studying different websites than me.
Yeah.
But when I think about methods for understanding prophecies, I'm thinking, well, I'm thinking I don't know exactly what you're talking about. Because it could be one of two different things. It could be like somebody comes up with these prophecies, and as you know, prophecies are usually like encrypted.
Yeah.
Go figure. They say things like, you know, like you were talking about, the silver-winged bird flies gently across the southern sky and, you know, impales the heart of the nation. And you're like, okay, well, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah.
Now, that could be a method for understanding prophecies. But also, I don't know where you're going with it, because is that what you're talking about?
Or you've blown this bit pretty much, huh?
What? No. Or are you talking about... No, I'm trying to do exactly what you said. You know, think about that.
Well, yeah, the statement itself. I mean, methods... I mean, really, I mean, okay, well, methods for understanding prophecies.
Like, does it mean you sit down with, like, 8 million thesauruses and, or thesauri and...
Well, the problem that I see with that is everybody takes a look... one thing I've learned is perception is everything. And people are going to perceive a statement such as something like the silver-winged bird will fly into... I mean, I never really remember. I don't have it committed to memory, unfortunately.
I don't either. We're completely.
Flies into the thingy and impales the heart of a nation.
Yeah.
I mean, you line 10 people up and ask them, hey, what's that mean? You're going to get 10 different answers.
Yeah.
I guarantee you on that. So what we're going to do here with this is just try to give you a better understanding, you know, try to help you understand a prophecy when you've seen it, okay? Now, I have to cite this. It's very important because I did this particular list.
Mm-hmm.
And we did pull this off a website. Unfortunately, it's a huge URL. But I'll give it to you one time and one time only. So if you want to get it again, you're going to have to download the archive and actually throw it into a loop or something. It's http://www.geocities.com/Athens, athens/forum. You should know what that word is, forum, /8990/methods, methods, and that'll take
dot
you
HTML.
Right. Yeah, .html.
Well, it's just HTML. There's no L.
If you bring up this page, this will have this exact list. We're just gonna knock some certain information off of it and talk about it a little bit.
Cool.
So okay, methods for understanding prophecies. The first method that they have listed here, unfortunately, I don't know the name of the person. There's no person's name on here. I really like to talk about this person. They did a great job on this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you recognize that URL and it's yours, just feel free to cross the line.
Email us. We want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Call me. Call me. Oh, there's my, yeah.
Oh, God. Call me. The first method is the literal method, which you think of the word literal. It's like, okay, you... I mean, I...
Literal means literal, yeah.
Mean literally, okay?
But I don't think there's any other...
Yeah,
what
simple.
What you see is what you got.
Yeah. Okay, some of the context is, but not much, otherwise you'd think you'd thought the content of dreams, okay? Now, this is where this particular thing is, there's a lot of dreams involved with a few of these particular methods. That concept goes for prophecies, too. They aren't there for literal interpretation, nor are a high percentage of the parables and even some of the historical passages. The writers were influenced by politics of the time, so the truth is not always quite what we read in the scriptures. Okay, so what they're talking about basically there is, you have a person that's kicking out all these prophecies. And like we read a lot of these historic prophecies.
Ancient prophecies. Yeah.
There may be some commonalities here in our present time,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of that people. I mean, if you would just take it for the. I mean, if you actually researched and you read a prophecy, you traced it back to the time it was in. You'd see that it had a lot to do possibly with the time they were in when they prophesied this. Okay, you see where I'm going with this?
I see where you're going, and that is like really one of the major problems that people have is that prophecies. Foretelling future events, mm-hmm. which, you know, isn't that what prophecy is,
uh-huh.
then, but how far in the future? It's easier... Hi, kids.
Yeah.
Instead of the ice cream truck this week, we got the kids next door hollering and screaming out the window. So we've got... Anyway, for telling future events, and then it's easier to try and fit a prophecy in with an event after the event has happened.
Yeah.
And that's like the big thing that the Nostradamus folks have going, you know, the anti-Nostradamus, or the people who don't believe in Nostradamus.
Mm-hmm.
They say that, yeah, all these things that he said that he wrote down in his quatrains and things like that, after the event has happened, you can match it up.
It's really easy to cry after the fact too.
Right. And but he's like, they're like, what good is the warning if
we don't understand it.
If you don't understand it before it happens.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, if somebody came up and said, you know, hey, you know, don't go to the circus today because an elephant's going to go on a rampage, and then you go to the circus and an elephant goes on a rampage, then, you know, you were warned and it's your fault.
Well, that's
one
thing I find troubling about a lot of the prophecies that are out there. They're written in such a riddle fashion where you have to almost, and that's where we get all the perception, and we talk about perception and all this from there. Said you line 10 people up that hear a certain prophecy, they're all going to take it a different way.
Right. The prophecies aren't presented obvious warning kind of thing, except for Sylvia Brown.
Yeah, she's very clear. She's
extremely clear.
Very clear about what she says. I mean, I know that back in certain ancient times, that's how people spoke. Unfortunately, now we don't speak like that.
Right. Well, Nostradamus purposely, you know, encoded his prophecies into these quatrains.
Uh-huh.
So he did that on purpose to avoid persecution and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So
what you also have to understand is Nostradamus was writing these back in the, you know, the 15th century, wasn't it? And he didn't have a word for planes. He didn't have a word for explosions, because they didn't have those back then. They didn't have these, you know, nuclear warheads. There was no word for those.
Yeah.
So he tried to describe them, but the best they could. The best they could.
Yeah, so that's actually a very good point.
Well, that's the same thing with Mother Shipton. There were no words for airplanes. There were no words for... It's the same thing, because she was in, what, 1500s. And so her prophecies are full of these descriptions of things, which makes sense now, but probably didn't make sense to her at the time.
Yes. So that's actually another good way to look at it, too, and it actually puts a lot of things in perspective. Because, yeah, how you describe something or how do you name something and you don't know what it really is? But you're seeing something. Something's driving you to put this down on paper or stone tablet or whatever you have. And it's like, okay, this thing is going to do this thing to this thing. What is this thing? I don't know.
Like that silver bird prophecy. I mean, I don't know when that was.
I think we
done.
Made that one up.
Oh, okay.
No, we didn't. No.
Oh, we didn't?
Yeah. I mean, well, it was on the internet, so it has to be true.
Oh, that's, of course.
Well, the silver, you know, say that was done back in, like, you know, the 15 or 1600s. When they see a plane, in the sky, they see this big metal silver thing flying through the sky. They're going to call it a bird,
exactly.
You know, and they're going to describe it by color, which would be silver.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just how they, you know, they had to do things back then.
Yeah, that's like you just said. That's a great way to look at it too. So that might explain the question that I just threw into the mix was,
why don't they just say what's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
Yeah,
what's going to happen? But back then, they didn't know what an aeroplane was.
Right.
They knew it as a silver bird. Possibly, I mean, if you want to look at it that way. Next, current events. Okay, depends on when it was to be applied. Usually, a dream has some relevance to the dreamer, either the way or week of its occurrence, either the day or week of its occurrence. Sorry, but often prophetic dreams have little or no relationship to anything current. While they can convey a sense of immediacy, it will happen soon. So, for I know this happened to me actually not too long ago. As far as current events, I don't know if you guys have ever woken up from a dream, for example, and like you are dead set on a certain thing that's happening, and you're like walking around in your sleep. I'll give you the example. I had a dream about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, that somebody went on the Ghostly Talk message board and like cussed us out.
You're kidding?
Yeah, I just completely cussed us out. Completely cussed us out.
Well, all right. Now, I don't think anybody did.
Nobody did.
I would have read it. Yeah.
You know what I did, though?
But that was happening on the DDPI message
board. Yeah. Okay, yeah. You know what I did, though?
Yeah.
4:30 in the morning.
You
know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I rolled out of bed about 4:30 in the morning. I didn't have to be up for another hour and a half. Rolled out of bed in my underwear. Walk over to my playroom. turn my PC on, log into my PC, log on to the internet, and log into our message board to check the messages. Of course, there's nothing on there, and then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, what am I doing? It's like 4:30 in the morning, I should be in bed. So there was a certain sense of urgency when I rolled out of bed, though. I'm like, okay, I got to check this board, and if there's a problem, I have to delete these messages, because nobody's up right now except for me. So by the time they get up, well, actually, I shouldn't say that, because there's people on the other side of the world that visit the message board. So
oh, yeah. There's people all over the world that are on Ghostly Talk, and they trickle in back and forth throughout the night.
But regardless of that, I mean, I had this sense, I was like, oh, my God. I got to take care of this. I actually had a dream. I think we talked about this a long time ago. I had a dream that, what's her name? Daphne from the Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Died or something?
She died, and I woke up crying my little eyes off because I was just a little kid.
Well, that's not much of a prophecy.
I know. Maybe they would have had an episode. They wrote her off the script.
Oh, that could be. But there's nothing you could have done about it.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't want to argue about Scooby-Doo here.
So we're talking about dreams, though. Dreams as prophecy, a method of obtaining a prophecy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
usually, I mean, the relevance, I mean, I know there's artists along with, prophetic people,
mm-hmm.
prophets, and that's what they draw their inspiration from, just as prophets do. I know prophets, they say, oh, I saw it in a dream. I saw a vision in a dream.
Yeah,
and this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very dry example, but it goes on.
What's the next thing?
Numerology.
Okay.
Okay. If any prophet relied heavily on numerology, they would get so little from dreams as to make them useless. Keep in mind, prophecies and dreams are based primarily on the words and very little on numbers. That's a matter of you could argue that. I mean. Numbers, for example. I mean, okay, let's say somebody prophesizes. I mean, how? I mean, I'm trying to.
You're trying not to talk about Bible code.
You're
trying to
exactly,
do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, what happens is unfortunately, if you do a search on the internet for prophecies, you're going to end up with just oodles and oodles of Bible code sites.
Well, if you type prophecies in Google right now, you're going to get the first like. 3 pages is going to be nothing but Mothman prophecies.
Oh, yeah, because of that movie and stuff.
So I think it's just it's invaded the internet, so get past that and get into the good stuff.
But, yeah, you're going to get just tons of stuff on Bible code and the prophecies that supposedly, gives us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it I completely could not understand. I mean, those people are doing just literally, they must be putting in, like, hundreds and hundreds of decades of work, you know,
mm-hmm.
in trying to decode prophecies out of the Bible based on, you know, the letter of the Hebrew alphabet number.
Yeah.
And it just goes, like, immensely insane.
It's very interesting.
Oh, it's fascinating, yeah. But I don't think I've seen an actual, you know, Bible code prophecy, just like with the Nostradamus ones. I don't think I've seen a Bible code prophecy that, even though I, you know, accidentally ran across, like, literally probably
mm-hmm.
dozens of these sites,
mm-hmm.
A prophecy that said before the fact, you know, oh, here's what's going to happen, and then it happens. It's usually after the fact.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, let's go through and see if it prophesized, you know, that George W. Bush Jr., or mm-hmm. I don't know, George W. Bush Jr., whatever he is.
George Jr.
That he would become the next president. You
yeah.
know, they always prophesize after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with, you know, Nostradamus. So
mm-hmm.
The problem I have with the Bible code prophecies is that the Bible has been translated so many hundreds and hundreds of times that the actual original text is so, you know, construed now. You just can't, you know.
It's just like any ghost story we've talked about on the air, and every single time we tell, like, we're going to tell a ghost story tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We do a ghost story, and it's always in the back of our minds that this story, depending on how old it was, has been passed along century after century, in some cases, and we are aware that there are probably some facts that have either been A, omitted, or B, changed.
Yeah,
and
a lot of stories are like that.
I mean, I'm not gonna start. I don't want to start an argument and have like every person who believes in the Bible like gunning me down. But you got a great point. I mean, that there's a lot of room for that train of thought that say, hey, look, you know.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, the Bible, like the serious, serious Bible code folks, I mean, they go to the original Hebrew,
the original
the original texts, and or as close to it as they can get. And then a lot of their work is actually trying to discern the differences between the different versions of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And then why, you know, why did those differences happen? And they, the same thing with the Nostradamus folks. They go back to the original provincial French, or whatever it was written in, and then try and discern the difference between the interpretations of in of the quatrains, and try and figure out the you know, why was this like interpreted differently and
yeah.
and or translated differently, and it's just it seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
For something that produces very little result, I mean,
well, it's
kind
just,
of interesting.
It's really, I mean, you're putting all this time into something, and I think it's I admire.
Oh, I'm fascinated.
I admire
it. Totally fascinated.
The passion
stuff.
These people have to sit there and go through all this, and it's just a matter they're trying. I mean, wouldn't it be cool to know what was going to happen? Really know what was going
to
happen.
Now we're finally getting to the beef of, or
yeah.
I mean, the meat,
yeah.
the inside, the internal of
well,
what prophecy.
I'm only going to do one more of these. And then
cool.
we're
do
we're
one more, and then we
want to
get
yeah.
into the really good
yeah.
stuff.
But, I mean,
yeah.
that's a good thing to think about. I mean, wouldn't it be just the coolest thing?
That's what we want to talk about, yeah.
I mean, that's when we start getting into the, that's when you start getting into the real nut, the real nutty stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
the
you
meat.
Are just, like, biting your nails to get to.
I can't wait, yeah.
What would you do if you could do something like that? I mean, I know we've seen all the movies, you know, and we've seen all the, you know, Back to the Future and all that funny stuff and whatnot and this and that.
Well, there's also the TV show with that newspaper guy. The guy would receive a newspaper from a cat or something.
Oh, that was Quantum Leap. Wasn't it Quantum Leap?
No, Quantum Leap was different. That was the guy who, like, would go back or forward in time and invade someone's body while they were in peril and needed it. This
oh.
was some guy, you know, when he was asleep, he'd wake up, he'd go out and get his morning paper, but it was tomorrow's paper. And so he would read through, and then he'd run around and he'd try and avoid these things. He'd get in big trouble and stuff. And then he couldn't use it to, like, play the lottery and stuff. Otherwise,
okay.
it would backfire. I don't know. There's all these weird rules that he had to go by.
Mm-hmm.
But he would, you know, get tomorrow morning's paper today, this
mm-hmm.
morning, you know. And so that's pretty cool.
I mean, even just to know a day in advance.
Yeah, but he ended up taking it as his like duty in life
mm-hmm.
to run around and have, you know, make, you know, avoid tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
So he took it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It was his duty in life to act on this information that he was given.
Mm. Okay, well, we'll do one more here, and then we'll get to the meat. Of the subject tonight.
Cool.
This is the one. I mean, there's seven of these actually. I'm going to read the fourth one down. This is the divine knowledge.
Oh yeah.
We know where we're going with this one. We'll try to keep this as neutral as possible.
Good. We already did too much Bible stuff today.
Yeah. nice touch, considering all dreams and prophecies come from the same source, theoretically speaking, a living God. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing here is. We got this giant mainframe up in the sky, sending this information.
We are geeks. Yeah.
Now, would you feel better if your dreams were prefaced by
prefaced? Yes. Go ahead.
it's the booze talking.
That's okay.
Prefaced by thus saith the Lord. You know, that kind of stuff.
We've
seen it in the Bible. Or can you just accept that he knows you won't believe that part and gets on with what he wants you to know? When a major prophet speaks, they don't stoop to name dropping and influence peddling. Name dropping and influence peddling. Have you ever? Okay, I know that's another thing with prophecies. We've seen a lot of these prophecies. There's always the one-eyed horned god from the east is going to take over. We hear a lot of that.
Yeah,
and then. There's no name dropping, obviously, but then all of a sudden that leads to the influence peddling because we're all going, could it be him? Could it be him? I mean,
mm-hmm.
people say that, you know, Hitler was the first Antichrist.
Right. Well,
no,
second
Napoleon.
Napoleon was the first.
Yeah.
He was the second Antichrist.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and the third one is they're interpreting it now as Hussein, Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
That's what they're thinking anyway, or George W. Bush, but.
Who knows?
Well,
who knows?
We won't know until after the fact.
All right.
That's the problem with the ancient prophecies.
Yes. They state what they saw, and if they know what they're seeing relates to in the future, and they may be able to give a reasonably good interpretation of it or other or offer suggestions as to how to understand it. The Creator shows what can happen. We choose by inaction to allow the worst to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the future is not an absolute unless, in our ignorance, we choose to be apathetic so it does happen. Well, that's, you know, we were talking about self-fulfilling prophecies earlier.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we were talking about
maybe working that in, but we didn't really.
It's not going to fit in this show, is it?
Well, I mean, really, but that's an important thing we should say just briefly, that we're all going to die in 10 years. Well, I mean, if you really, really, really believe that,
you might act to.
For example,
cause that to happen.
Go to deathclock.com.
Yeah.
Seriously, go to deathclock.com. I think this is a website that will tell you the exact day and time you're going to die. Now, we were messing around on it last weekend, actually, and we were laughing ourselves stupid because we don't believe it. I mean, we don't know how time works. But if you say you went on deathclock.com and said the day, the exact time that you were going to die, which even creepier is it gives you a countdown to
how many days, minutes, hours, seconds you have left.
It's very morbid. If you really believe that, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not. If you really believe that, you could be you could be responsible for complete self-immolation on yourself. That big word I just threw in there. Well, for example, the year 2000. I mean, that was my thing. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen for the year 2000? This is going to be real one-sided, but I don't care. The year 2000, we were all talking about, what do you think is going to happen New Year's Eve? Like, well, what we're going to have happen is all the morons are going to be eradicated because they're going to kill themselves or each other. And I thought, you know, all these doomsday cults that were out there, you know, they're all going to go, well, we're going to die in the millennium. Well, if you keep, and there was a bunch of groups that actually did. They actually killed themselves.
The UFO cult kind of people,
I mean, you found them all dead. I mean, unfortunately, not all of them did that. I mean, I don't mean Sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, I'm dead.
I was working
with you guys. I didn't mean to say. I really didn't mean. Well, yes, I did. Whatever. So, I mean, but I thought, okay, this is a very, this is a good method of population control right here. I mean, as far as, okay, we got a problem with the weirdos. And I mean, I don't mean that in a sense that, you know, that just because someone thinks different from another person doesn't mean they're weird. But when they're out there saying, we're all going to die on this date at this time, and I'm going to make sure we're all going to die on this date at this time, that's not a prophecy. That's a goal.
That's a goal. Yeah, that's
I'm going to die at this time, and I'm going to make sure it happens. Such as, I'm going to go to college and get a degree. I'm going to do the necessary things to make sure it happens. It's the exact same correlation.
Right? Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's hilarious that I've seen this for years. And
it happens over and over again.
We're all going to die. We were talking about Charlie Chan movie. And I was telling you
the Charlie Chan movie, yes.
You're going to die. And then Charlie Chan catches the lady who told that guy that he was going to die trying to shoot him.
Right.
That's a goal.
Yeah, she made a goal for herself. It wasn't really a prophecy.
I mean, it's not a very good goal.
No.
But you can't call it a prophecy either.
What you can call prophecy, as a matter of fact, we should talk about that after a break, because I really want to get into the good stuff, the stuff that, you know, is, like, just truly fascinating to me, because all that stuff, that background stuff, you know, we do that here on Ghostly Talk just to bother everybody for the first half hour.
Well, no, I mean, it gives you an idea that there's more to it than just, you know, throwing down words on a piece of paper and saying it's going to happen. It gives you, like, okay, let's think about this a little bit, and where does it come from, and how could we do this? That's very important because there's more to it than, like I just said, throwing stuff down on a piece of paper. So why don't we take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to shut my mouth and let Will and Doug just go completely nuts.
No, we want you to pop in, too, you know.
I'm tired, man.
Okay,
I'm,
then you can go take a nap.
I'm drained right now. I'm going to go to the couch.
We'll finish up Ghostly Talk.
We'll be back in a second.
Ghost Hunting, My Ethereal Anti-Drug.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts,
Doug
and Scott L. Okay.
Now the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Prophecies. I want to talk about something.
Okay.
This is the first thing that, like, really tuned me in. I'd always been interested in paranormal stuff, right? Because paranormal stuff was just, like, always just totally incredible. fascinating.
Absolutely.
Unprovable, mysterious. I loved it. But I wasn't totally into it until one day at work. I was working in this humongous office building in downtown Detroit. And, of course, I kept a book, a couple of books there. But one of the books that I kept there in my desk drawer was Edgar Cayce, The Sleeping Prophet by Jess Stern. Mm-hmm. Okay, because one of my favorite books. It was actually written the year I was born, or at least published first, the year I was born. So we're talking a couple of decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, 1967. But I had picked up that book, I think, as a teenager, and I read it. It's one of the few books I read over and over. Like all my sci-fi stuff, I don't read that over and over and over. All my fantasy novels of, no, not that kind of fantasy. The kinds with wizards and warlocks and dragons, those kind of fantasy novels. I don't read those over and over and over again. But I did read this book over and over and over and over again, and it really does show its age. But I absolutely love this book. There's a thing in this book. Hang on, I'm going to get it for you because I want to read it to you. I already promoted the book, so if you get a chance, go and buy this book because it's phenomenal. Anyway, in this book, this is what like really clued me in. Okay, that hey, there might be something going on here. Jess Stern writes, one of his most celebrated predictions, yet to be realized, concerns Soviet Russia. It was almost one of his last major predictions he made a few months before his death. He not only saw the end of communism in Russia, but saw that country emerging as the hope of the world. Quote, through Russia comes the hope of the world, not in respect to what is sometimes termed communism or Bolshevism, no, but freedom. Freedom, that each man will live for his fellow man. The principle has not... I read that wrong. The principle has been born there. It will take years for it to be crystallized. Yet out of Russia comes again the hope of the world. End quote. Okay. Now, when I was growing up, there was no possible way communism would ever end in Russia. I mean, it was drilled into us by, you know, society... by, you know, they basically brainwashed us into thinking that communism, big bad, you know, is really bad. And it is, probably, I don't know, but it, you know, communism, there's no possible way that the second most powerful country on earth, the only country on earth that kept the U.S. in check, right?
Uh-huh.
Because, like, many of our resources were going to, you know, protect ourselves from Russia.
Cold War.
Yeah, and then Russia, of course, was doing the same thing against the U.S. So I'm sure that the folks in Russia thought that we were the second most powerful country in the world. But, you know, you get the idea. Just absolutely everything, the press, just in talking to people, in our very language, everything was geared toward how bad Russia was, or, you know, communist Russia, USSR was. And I could not... I remember things in, you know, like that weekly reader or the little reader thing in elementary school.
Okay, yeah.
You get this like little,
yeah,
this little reader, and it was printed on like cheap paper, but it was fun to read. And sometimes there were even things in there about, you know, communism and Russia and bad and, you know, red, you know, red. Yeah, it's like all bad, 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 bad. And you never in a million years would think that communism would fall. It just would not happen. Cannot happen. Will not. Cannot happen. It would be just like, you know, the democratic government of the United States falling. You know, just cannot, will not happen ever. No matter what.
Well, to think about something that monumental. Unfortunately, I was too young to really appreciate it. I mean, I do now.
Oh, rub it in.
Oh, hold on. Come on. No.
But no, I'm telling you, the thing is every single thing, the news, the media, stories, our very language itself was structured around how powerful Russia and communism and how evil they are and were or whatever. And I don't think they are now, but... when we were brainwashed, what's the propaganda? It was all propaganda. it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I go to work one day, and I'm working in this big, you know, huge high-rise kind of thing, which now, by the way, is a casino. and I happen to see on, because they had the newspaper things in front that you could buy as you're going in. And it says communism falls, or communism falls in Russia, or something like that. I'm like, I was just totally mystified. Of course, I ran to my desk. I dug out my book, because it happened to be there, and I read that passage again, and I'm like, do you know when I read this? And I had to have read that book 100 times, right? Uh-huh. And every time I read that passage that I just read on the air here, I thought, there's no possible way. Edgar Cayce was wrong. And he wasn't. He was right. Communism fell in Russia. I that floored me. Made me think, hey, something's going on. Something is happening, because I never in a million years would have thought that could have happened. And every time I read it, I thought, well, you know, there's one he's off on, you know. And he wasn't. It happened in my lifetime. I'm shocked. Totally shocked and floored me.
I know you've told me that story.
Dozens of times. Yeah.
No. Doug, I know I've heard about this 1,000 times. No, we've talked about that numerous times concerning Edgar Cayce. I know that unfortunately, I'm not rubbing this in your face.
I'm only kidding.
But, I mean, I remember the event, and I remember what you're talking about. We were brainwashed.
But would you in a million years have ever thought that communism, before it fell, that communism would have fallen in Russia?
As a child, from what I was taught, honestly, no. Because, I mean, I was taught the same way. Communism's bad. The evil Reds. And it was always, I was a child, I mean, it was us against them.
It was us against them. That's exactly what it was. I mean, the entire society was us against them.
This is what you're talking about right here. I hate this is, oh my God, I'm done after this.
Oh
one.
No.
But professional wrestling.
Oh, no.
People know. No, wait.
All right.
If you remember.
I'll go with you on it.
We got Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
We got Nikolai Volkov, who was the big Russian guy. And this guy. Some of you guys out there know what I'm talking about.
Was this pre.
This is going on. This was before Russia. Communism fell. This was the 80s.
Okay.
Nikolai Volkov was like the baddest Russian on 2 feet. This guy was a beast. I think you remember him.
Yep.
And it was always, I mean, every time he came out there, he was booed by it. Nobody liked Nikolai Volkov at all. And he was always taking on the big guys like Hulk Hogan or Macho Man Randy Savage. And every time they get into a match together, it was about the red, white, and blue
versus
the Reds.
Yeah.
So that just as a child, I mean, that was the brainwashing that happened to me because I was an impressionable child and I loved wrestling then. And I remember, I don't like Nikolai Volkov. He's one of them Russians, you know. And you're talking about the brainwashing, though.
It happens.
What a better way to brainwash people. Look what wrestling now does to people. For God's sake, look at the people out there.
But it's true. I mean, even to come down into that kind of thing, it was so pervasive in the United States society.
It was in everything, like you said, everything.
Absolutely everything.
Entertainment.
Yeah, every single thing. Well, look how many millions upon millions of stories that are just basically copied stories. They changed the names of the characters in maybe a couple places.
Mm-hmm.
Were us against them.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but another movie for us to talk about also. I actually saw it on the rack at F&M yesterday. Red Dawn.
Yep, I was just going to say that.
You were just going to say Red Dawn. Did you ever see that movie?
It was Russians and the Cubans invaded America.
Russia, literally. This was a very violent, I mean, this was a scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was on HBO all the time when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie was, you said the Russians and the Cubans got together and stormtroopers. They took the country over.
Wow!
And I mean, there were some sick scenes in this movie. And I remember the kids. I forgot exactly who acted in it.
Patrick Swayze. Charlie
Sheen. very young at this time too. There was a scene where like they're in school, kids in a high school, and all of a sudden they look out the windows and they see paratroopers coming down and they start shooting the building. And you got literally it was a violent, gory, graphic scene. There's kids hanging out the windows, dead.
Wow.
And it was about an invasion, from the Russians and the Cubans, but the Russians were there.
Yeah, well.
It was a complete it was another side of it, more entertainment, but another side of it, where we're saying, hey, you know, and these guys came back and they're like, I remember there were scenes where people, they were like, the Russians were like, you know, do you believe in communism? And they're like, you know, some guy was like, my country tears up, boom, blew them away.
Well, that's how pervasive the Cold War, the U.S. against Russia was in society.
Yeah.
I mean, now, of course, it's like, oh, let's all be friends. And suddenly it's like a complete 100-degree degree reversal because, or 180-degree
reversal.
Yeah, reversal. I can't get that.
Break up a trigonometry book here.
I know, because it was that pervasive.
Yeah.
It was so incredibly pervasive that I was brainwashed. I really was. And I let myself be because I didn't think about it. And when I read that passage in that book, that prophecy, one of Edgar Casey's last prophecies, it was that communism would fall in Russia. I'm like, no way.
Unfortunately,
no way. I did not believe it. I really did not believe it.
Yeah, unfortunately, none of us are political science majors here in terms of this issue. That's why we're citing wrestling. Why I'm citing wrestling and movies.
Well,
but,
sure.
I mean, it really, like I was, like what you said, the brainwashing.
It
the
happened.
Whole,
propaganda,
I can identify
everything.
With that so much going back in my childhood because, I mean, literally, I mean, after I watched wrestling, for example, I was like, USA!
USA!
Yeah. And same thing with Red Dawn. I mean, if you watched that movie, at the end of the movie, you were like, you hated the Russians. You really did. Because these people, with how they portrayed them in the movie,
would
be these sick people that didn't care if you were a child, a woman, or whatever. If you were American, you died. Or
converted
over to communism.
Absolutely ridiculous. The amount of propaganda and how it infiltrated every single aspect of our lives, and then when that prediction of Casey's came to pass, I mean, I don't know about them being the hope of the world and stuff. I mean, maybe, but but just the part about communism falling in Russia, when that came to pass, I ran out, grabbed my book, look at my book, I'm like, no way.
No way, yeah.
No way this happened. And it happened. So, I mean, and Edgar Casey did a lot of other prophecies as well. So we wanted to talk about some of that. Now we're going to run out of time.
Well, we got plenty of time.
We have 12 minutes.
Jam.
All right. but let's talk about other things, too. I mean, we did a bit on Edgar Casey now, but let's do other ones that you know of. You said there's like a modern prophet, Solog.
Solog, yep. It's www.solog.com. I've been keeping track of him for quite some time, and unfortunately, I mean, the guy tries to make money off this, but
I don't mean to cut you
it's
off.
Not
there,
unfortunate.
Well, it's not
he
unfortunate.
Has
he has to. It's
he
unfortunate
sends,
for us.
this is his job. I mean, he's got to do it, and in order to keep his prophecies coming, you know, he needs to charge for certain sections of his website. He needs to sell books. You know, and so I think I give more power to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, it's just unfortunate for us who are poor.
Yeah.
But, I've been keeping track of him for a while, and he's predicted so many things. The death of Princess Diana, the Oklahoma City bombing, the fall of the Twin Towers, and he also was real big into numerology. And he also puts things into code, kind of like Nostradamus did. In fact, he dedicates a lot of his teachings and writings about Nostradamus, and then how he almost starts to like mimic him in a way, and which I think is a good thing because it makes people try to interpret and not take everything for this is what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, dead
hair. His next prophecy, he talks about, what, seven? Oh, first of all, yeah, go to Solog.com, buy a book or two or ten or however many. He's written a lot. And take that for what it's worth. But from what I understand, he had, like, seven signs before the huge, you know, nuclear, like, Third World War kind of thing.
Yeah,
I remember
all of them.
And they're like, five of them have come to pass, or something, is what they're trying to say. And then the next one is, unfortunately, it actually concerns us here at the Haunted Basement Studios in Fraser, Michigan.
What are you talking about?
Well, we're pretty close to Detroit. We're even on the Detroit water system.
Oh, great. Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
Oh, man.
The next sign, they've interpreted his next sign, his sixth sign, I mean, as being the poisoning of the water system in Detroit and Chicago.
Well, all you do is drink Diet Pepsi anyway, so...
Well, now I'm on, Coca-Cola because it was on special.
And we're set down here in the Haunted Basement Studios because all we do is drink pop down here.
Yeah, we drink pop and stuff, so...
Yeah, so I think we'll be okay on it. I'm not really worried too much about it.
Yeah, what about my ice? Oh, man. Well, at least I'll get little minute quantities of this poison.
Maybe enough to, you know, build up an antibody, but
yeah,
not get you sick.
Not actually get me sick.
Hey, we can be on to something here.
He's saying that only drink Diet Pepsi.
Yeah.
Pepsi.com. Oh,
why don't we just buy like a truckload and just like show in the front yard and like just have the people drink. I'm thirsty, and like, you know, here, you want a pop?
You want a pop?
$20 a bottle. And I'm the only action in town, buddy, so you better pick it up right now. All right.
Is it safe?
It's safe.
But we have his that's his sign.
The poisoning of the water supply in Detroit.
The death of Chicago.
Chicago. Detroit and Chicago.
Detroit and Chicago.
The death of the Pope is another one.
But I don't think that was one of the signs.
Oh, yeah, I don't think it was one of the signs. I know there's supposed to be a war too. Coming up.
Well, yeah, no, there's lots of wars going on.
When did
you
make this one up? Last week?
No,
I'm not knocking him, but geez, I mean, you don't know, there's not going to be any war.
Yeah, there is, but what's happening is his seven signs are related to, I think, you know, based on what I think I've read, the upcoming World War III kind of thing, the apocalypse, the end. The death of the Pope is, well, it's something you don't really need a crystal ball to see, but poor
guy.
Don't
get me started. Have you seen the Pope lately?
He looks worse than Ozzy.
Well, now, listen to this. The Pope, I have so much respect for that man, okay?
Oh, God, yes.
Well, first of all, he's the Pope.
We can't rip on him, though.
Yeah, God.
We're going to cut that one for the archives there.
he did a fantastic showing at the Toronto Catholic Youth Organization festivities that whole week. I mean, he was a trooper, and he inspired literally what it had to have been tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Canadian youth, Canadian Catholic youths. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Muslims like went, but they the Canadian Catholic youths, he inspired them. I mean, just by being there, just by showing up and being as strong and incredible as he is, you know.
Yeah.
But he is, you know, aged. And
still the same. Well, the Pope's going to die.
Well, but everybody...
I'm going to die!
I am too, yeah. I mean, we all are. It's just...
Tell me when he's going to die.
Well,
that's the second tier.
That's where Solog's a little different.
Yeah. I mean,
he says October.
What, this October?
Yeah.
Next October?
Well, this one.
This one.
He says
all right, I'll keep watching.
Well, what he does is he gives a whole bunch of different dates and then gives a whole bunch of different events, but doesn't actually, you know, put those together.
Yeah, he doesn't line them up. He gives you the information, but again, like, you've got to put it together.
So it's like an elementary school test where you have one side, you have all the answers, and one side, you have all the questions.
And you got to draw the line.
And you got to match them up.
Yeah, and so they were people who've studied his prophecies that have drawn the lines and they figure that it must be the significant happening in October.
Okay.
Must be, you know, the demise of the Pope, which will be sad for the whole world. But
of course, even Catholics and non-Catholics. I mean, I'm not a Catholic myself, but I do. He is, like you just said, he's a good source of inspiration for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good source of inspiration. I spent a good couple hours in a Catholic church yesterday. And regardless of the fact that I was a tad bit bored, it was still nice to be there. It really was. I mean, to be in that presence. I mean, just Catholicism itself, you see it, well, you saw it too. Well, you took pictures of a lot of it. But symbolism everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is so symbolic with the religion. And it's very cool to see that. And it all is a reflection of the Pope himself, because he is like...
He's the...
The head cheese.
Yeah, he is the top of the top of the ladder.
So he makes all the calls, and this is what you should do, and this is what you shouldn't do. Inspiration.
We got told all about that yesterday, too.
Yeah.
I mean, rules.
Oh, yeah.
Here are the rules, and then they spell them out to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
At least
he tells you beforehand.
I wasn't allowed to even follow the rules.
Yeah. Doug walked in and, like, people started shrieking.
Yeah.
Eat it! Burn him at the stake!
Yeah, I was not. But I did get some pictures. So
well, wonderful pictures.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So yeah, that's his next major thing is Death of the Pope and poisoning of our water supply right here.
All right.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Kind of what some of the people on the forums, and the people on the forums are the ones that are trying to interpret and, you know, figure out what he's trying to say. And what they're thinking is, before nuke terrorism hits Israel, then Rome and Washington, D.C., is that, you know, the poisoning of the waters, the Pope dying, and the war in Iraq.
Yes.
And as soon as all that stuff takes place, nuke terrorism is, like, going to happen right there.
Mm-hmm.
And people are saying that Iraq does have the nuke terrorism capabilities,
yeah,
and that they are going to be the ones who are going to nuke Israel because they're so against the, you know, so against Israel.
Well, keep them over there.
Well, they.
I mean, I don't mean to sound so ignorant.
Well, yeah, I mean, hang on. Let me dig out that typewriter sound because I want to tell you something.
Uh oh.
A bit loud.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I heard on the news yesterday that the evidently they stopped this taxi cab over somewhere in the Middle East.
It was in Turkey.
In Turkey?
Yeah, it was in Turkey.
Yeah, and this taxi cab was, you know, it had like, what, 3 or 30, I don't know, some number of pounds of nuclear material in it.
Mm-hmm. It was stolen nuclear material.
Yeah. So maybe something has been avoided.
Mm.
Or maybe they caught the people who were transporting it, but how many times has this happened before? You know, how many times did they steal this, you know, uranium or whatever, this raw nuclear material and take it before they actually got caught?
And that's from Will, our local doomsday.
Well, it's a scary thing, though. It really is. I mean, and I guess that was the intention of the show, is to scare the hell out of you.
Well, there you go. That just
took us
did
about,
it for 58 minutes.
Yeah, 58 minutes to get there, but
yeah,
we got there. You know, it's a sad fact. We all live with it every day. And just because, you know, we hear about it in the news every day. Unfortunately, the news likes to, well, they capitalize on things like that,
mm-hmm,
I guess. But I mean, it's a real thing. It's happening. I mean, I don't want to go that far with it, but you were talking about hiding the nuclear weapons. Yeah, we're going to send our inspectors in there, and we're going to find it. Well, like you said, it's a moving target.
Yeah.
How do you shoot a moving target? Well, you got to keep moving with it, obviously. But, I mean, sometime you have to find it. I mean, and I don't know if they're going to find it, unfortunately.
We didn't get to talk about all kinds of things I wanted to talk about.
Mm.
I want to talk about Mother Shipton.
Talk about
who,
her.
By the way, I've got a minute and a half
we
left.
How long did we go last week?
71 minutes.
Okay, well, we can go a little bit over. I mean, I know we're burned to a CD, but I mean, if you want to go with it, feel free.
I think that what happens is that in true Ghostly Talk fashion, again, we are not going to talk about it. We're just going to, I'm going to throw out URLs.
All right.
Dreamscape.net/, I don't remember.
Oh, my God.
Something. Morgana. That's it. Mm-hmm. So, www.dreamscape.net/Morgana,
mm-hmm,
Morgana. That has got to be the most fascinating prophecy site I've ever run across.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever this lady is, put together a phenomenal, like, archive,
yeah,
of just...
Just a database.
It's just, like, typed in, so it's not, like, searchable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's... It's like tons of, it's the comparative, you know, philosophies, prophecies. And what happens is she's got Hopi prophecies,
mm,
which we didn't get to talk about. Mother Shipton's prophecies, which we didn't get to talk about. Some on Edgar Cayce, a lot on Nostradamus. I don't remember anything about Solog.
Well,
so she must be doing...
There. It must,
yeah,
be people who are already...
This must be ancient prophecies or, you know, old prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
Go to that website, because it's got tons of cool stuff.
You'll be reading for a while.
Yeah, you'll be reading for a while. A lot of it's fascinating. A lot of it is just, you know, eventually there'll be a war, and then everybody will have to get along after that, you know, kind of thing. But there's a lot of that.
Yeah, and really, if you want to wrap it up right now, to really wrap
it up...
We
have to.
Okay. we've talked about the prophecies here for a little while. And we talked about some of the scarier things, but this is the real stuff. This is what's going on,
mm-hmm,
and yeah, people can prophesize all they want about these things. But really, I mean, we see what's going on around us right now, the whole war. There is going to, most likely, let's say, there is going to be a war. We're going to have it on our hands. Hopefully, I really would hate to see our water system getting poisoned, because I love water. And I don't think that little filter...
Well, I hope you love bottled water. Yeah.
I have a filter on mine, though.
Yeah?
So maybe it'll filter out the poison.
Oh, that would be good.
I mean, I'm not going to depend on it.
You're moving.
I better clean the filter.
You're also moving.
Oh, God, yeah.
No, so you're going to have to talk the
whole... That's a whole hour right there.
Yeah, but you're going to have to talk your new landlord into getting one of those things.
Yeah. I'm a Jim. you know, it's only about $800. You know, can you hook it up to the water?
But you need to hook this up, because otherwise we're in trouble.
Yeah, it's very tough. But yeah, I mean, go to that site though, because I mean, I've unfortunately this week's been kind of crazy for me, so I haven't had a chance to really study a lot of this stuff. But that's what I have planned for work this week.
Well, these things fascinate me, and yeah. I wish I would have time to talk about more.
Well,
we don't.
My fault. I'm sorry.
No, we have to talk about that too.
But maybe we'll come back to this again.
Hey, we hit some really cool stuff. We hit that Edgar Casey thing, which totally floored me, and I hope that helps, like, you know, let others know that, hey, you know, Doug was reading this. You know, if people can identify with that, you know, Doug was read this thing in a book. Read the book 100 times or whatever, did not believe it at all, and then suddenly it actually came to pass.
Yeah.
Suddenly, you know, boom, Edgar Casey's credibility bounced up to, you know, into Bible status to me, because I'm like, oh my gosh, because I totally didn't believe it, and then I suddenly had to believe it because it happened. So if someone can identify with anything like that, maybe they'll go to that prophecy site, study up some prophecies.
Yeah, definitely.
Or study how to do prophecies and maybe make some.
And if there is a prophet out there who speaks contemporary language...
There isn't.
Maybe there is. Somebody.
Well, except for Sylvia Brown.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, somebody can go, yeah, this is going to happen at this time. This is going to crash into that.
Well,
whatever.
Sylvia Brown, I have to... Wait, let's finish the show on this one.
Okay.
Because this one is so phenomenal to me, okay? The year will be 2010. Okay, so evidently we'll also be around in 2010.
Uh-huh.
The year will be 2010. Aliens from outer space will, I guess, have to land or somehow get here. Yeah. And they will be here, and they will teach us... They will teach us to remember or something how to... levitate objects, or how to defy gravity.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll be old.
2010, that's 8 years from now. Yeah. You'll be older.
Older.
Yeah. So 2010, 8 years. And we will be visited by the aliens who will teach us our old ways of defying gravity. So evidently we were able to do it before, we're no longer able to do it, and we're going to relearn from, with the help of these aliens, how to do it.
Great.
Isn't that cool?
I can't wait.
That, and of course, you know, Atlantis will be rising from the ocean. Atlantis and Lemuria will be rising from the ocean. And
pop out of the water and hi!
Yeah, well, other places will sink, such as, you know...
Detroit.
Sorry, guys, our listeners in England. Ta-da, England. And
don't we have a few people from England on the...
Yes, we do.
Okay, I can't wait to get tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
What do you mean we're going to sink? What are you talking about?
Sorry if you listen to the ancient prophecy. But, England's going. A lot of the west coast of the United States is going. Some of the east coast is going.
I mean, not cool for them, but...
No, not cool, but I mean, you know, but... That's what they're saying is going to happen. And of course, Atlantis will rise from the ocean, and so will Lemuria in the Pacific Ocean. So we're a lot of changes are coming up. I don't know when.
Well, unfortunately, it won't be tomorrow, and we're not going to really know exactly when it's going to happen, too. That's
right.
That's a fact.
It'll be kind of... Oh, Michigan, too, you guys.
Oh, we just got a pop-up from one of our listeners. Thanks, guys. You got my wife freaked out over this water thing.
Obviously.
Sorry, Jim.
Yeah. That's what it is.
What do we see we're going to do when we started to show up?
I'm going
to
go and buy some stock in bottled water companies, because if Solag and all them have their way, we're going to have a poisoned water here in Detroit.
I'm going to get grilled next time I see Jim's wife.
So, all right.
On that note, we have to get out of here. Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
I know it was fun.
No, it was cool to talk about something like this. This is a little different. Like, every week, I mean, we're getting into all these crazy topics, and we can't say it enough. The world of the paranormal, there's just so much going on that it isn't all ghosts.
Right. Well, although the stories that we gave last week, there's so many other cool stories.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to do another show on stories.
Absolutely.
Because they were phenomenal.
So, yeah, keep sending them in. We love to read them.
It was fun.
Yeah, that show was... That was
and we could only get better at it, because when you start at the bottom, the only way to go is up.
Exactly.
So I think that the hosts, you know, Doug and Scott L., are going to get better and better and better at it, and we're gonna have a blast.
Exactly. So on that note, we're going to get out of
here. That's it.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this was Ghostly Talk.
True science will not deny the existence of things, because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.